Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging. So you may have noticed I've got this awesome pair of Beats around my neck. We do. Arby's may have the meats, but we got the Beats. I'm just saying. It's true. And these Beats could be yours. Could be yours. Bring a friend next week that has not been to Rage, and you get entered in to win these things. For every friend you bring, you get another entry into that raffle. And we have more than just Beats we're giving away. It's going to be an insane night. It's going to be crazy. This place is going to be the place to be. So bring one person. Can you imagine this room if everybody right now brought one person? One person. We'd go from 60 to 120 in one night. Now imagine another week of just bringing one person. 120 to 240, we'd be maxing out this room in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks. Man, this just gets me excited. So the question is, who can you bring? It's not, man, I don't have 35 people I can bring. It's nothing like that. Who's the one person you can bring? Maybe there's three people you can bring. Whatever God lays on your heart. But who's that one person? Just one person you can bring. Has anybody here seen Risen? Yeah. So my connection group on Sunday is going to go see it. I've already seen it. It was super good. And so I don't want to give away too many spoilers from the movie. But for those of you who may not know, Jesus rises from the dead. And one of my favorite scenes, I know, spoiler alert, go figure, it happens. I gave it away. There's this awesome, awesome part at the end. My heart is like ready to just explode all over out of my chest and the person in front of me. And what it is it's towards the end, there's the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And so you're like, yeah. If you can picture this, there's Jesus, resurrected Jesus, like sits on the throne, Jesus, say it, Jesus, Jesus. And he's standing there and he goes like this and the sun starts rising behind him. So it's kind of a cool metaphor, right? Because he's the sun and it's really bright. And all of a sudden he starts glowing. And then there's like this, like this explosion of light ripping out of him. And all the disciples are like, and like knocked back. So it says nobody can stand in the very glory of God. And it's just like, I'm like, whoa. And while all of this is happening, Jesus says some words that are found in Matthew 28. And what he says, write this down, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is the base of our whole message. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so like while he's saying this, he's like, she's going up to heaven. The light's so amazing. It's just, oh, you need to be excited about that. Okay. This is risen Savior, King of Kings, like up to heaven while giving us a commission. Oh, it's just powerful. My heart was about ready to blow out of my chest at this command and the empowering that Jesus gave to his followers, that he gave to you and me. In that moment, I was literally like leaping with destiny and purpose. I just wanted to jump up and be like, yeah, yes, yeah, yes. But I didn't, even though I wish I kind of would have. It would have been cool. But inside, that's what I was doing. I was like, yes, yes, yes. I was so excited. I was, man, why do you think that is? Why do you think that stirred something like that within me? I didn't even have a monster that day. I didn't. I had one cup of coffee in the morning. That's all I had. Reason I felt that way, just like, is because it's our destiny as believers, as followers of Christ. We are created to know God and to serve him. We are created to do that. Now, how many here would just say, just being honest, just being real, how many would say, I consider myself an authentic follower of Jesus? It's a safe room. I'm not, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're like, I don't. You know, I'm not going to like force you to raise your hand, but okay, so most of us, that's a good thing. If that's you, you're like, yeah, I feel like I'm an authentic follower. You have a calling. You have a commissioning on your life to share Jesus with those around you. That calling, that commissioning, we call outreach. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for every person in this room tonight. God, I ask that as we dive into your word, as we look at what is outreach, why did you give us this commissioning and this calling? What does it look like? I pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts, that you'll speak to our souls. And God, you'll equip us, you'll empower us, and you'll convict us. We know that your word does not return void. Be with us tonight. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of the time when you hear a word like outreach, the first thing you think of in a Christian context is missions. We think of missions trips, right? We think of that. The problem is outreach in the context of missions, you can't rely on that. And I'll explain why. First reason why is we hear it a lot. You're like, well, I guess I'll just do it next year. I don't know. Just this year didn't work out or whatever. Whatever your lame excuse is. You can't guarantee on missions every year because you don't know what a year will hold. You don't know what a year is going to hold for this church, for yourself, for this community. It's not a guarantee. Our budgets could get cut tomorrow and we couldn't do trips. It's as simple as that. Or the trips, because we didn't have a budget to help offset the cost, would be so high, a lot of you wouldn't have an opportunity to be able to do this without some very serious discipline. So they're not a guarantee. This youth group is extremely blessed for the opportunities that you have, and it makes me upset when I see it taken advantage of. Oh, I don't know. Man, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Complacency and laziness are no excuse. Oh, I don't have the money. We'll work for it. I seen this thing on Facebook today, and it's probably not funny that I just laughed. But it was true. It was this guy with a wheelbarrow full of stuff, and he was working, and he didn't have any arms. And he had a rope tied around his shoulder. And it says, oh, I can't work, was the caption. It says, what's your excuse? It's like, boom! Man, dude with no arms whatsoever, still making a living for himself. No excuse. Like, I don't have any money. You know what? You have a life, so go use it. I love you guys. You can't bank on missions trips every year. You can't. And in fact, if you're like, oh, man, Tennessee, I didn't sign up for it. I forgot. Maybe you're that person. You're like, I'll do it next year. And then all of a sudden you're like, I wish I would have. Talk to me. I'll still get you in. We'll still get you signed up. We want you to take part in these things. But outreach is more than just this once a year missions trip. For an authentic follower of Jesus, it is literally how we live. It's how we live. So y'all got your Bibles, because I know you love Jesus. If you got to open up to Matthew 28, I need you to get to the Great Commission. We're going to break this down. All right, so follow along with me. It starts off that all authority has been given to Jesus. That means everything comes underneath of him. He's all powerful. He's God. Love that. So he's really setting this up. He's like, listen here, I'm in charge. And then he takes that authority and he sends us out with it. If you look in there, it says the word go. Go and make disciples. This indicates an action. This is an action verb. It means physically moving. It means acting upon doing something about it. It's more than just talking about it. But then the question arises, where do you go? Well, it tells us all the world, all nations. And we're like, oh, overseas missions. We're going to get to that. Doing what? Making disciples, making followers of Jesus. This is our calling. And what this means is you are literally commissioned or called by Jesus to go in his authority, in his witness, in his power to reach lost, broken, and dying people around you. And we get hung up on Christian words sometimes. We hear like commissioned. And some of you are like, you think of Batman, you're like Commissioner Gordon. You do, see? I'm not the only one. And so commissioned, when you break that word down, the normal definition of it isn't like some position. It literally means that we are commanded and officially charged with the responsibility of, and we've been given the power to carry out that responsibility. So commissioner in Batman was simply somebody who was given authority and power to carry out a job. That's what it means, the Great Commission. the authority and power of Jesus on his believers to do his will and his work. Man, Jesus empowered me. Jesus empowered you to do outreach. Wild, isn't it? But that raises the question, why, if we're empowered, if we're commissioned, if we're sent out, why then is this being a normal function of following Jesus, is it considered radical when people actually do it? Why is that? I believe it's because we easily get hung up on ourselves. We make it a me-focused outreach. It's our pride, it's our selfishness, our fear, our comfort, our disobedience, our flesh, the things we want to do over the things of God coming up in our lives. That's why I believe that happens. We say things like, oh, I went last year. Or I guess I'll go next year. Let's apply that to regular life for a minute. But I showered last year. It was a great shower, long shower. I felt so good after. I'm good. You know what? No, you're not. Go shower. How about this? Well, I played baseball or football last year. I played basketball. Whatever your sport is, I played that last year. I'm good. I don't need to play this year. Maybe I'll do it next year. Oh, I went to school last year. Maybe someday I'll do it again. I don't know. We'll just kind of see what happened. Here's a good one. Well, I obeyed my parents last year. In fact, I did it so good. I did it for a whole week. Everything they said, everything they wanted, I did. I gave a week for my parents. I'm good for like 3 years. See, in regular life, we laugh about it. But when it comes to following Jesus, that's the normal. Because it plays into our sinful pride. We use excuses like those things. What we're really telling Jesus is, you know what, I'll be obedient. I'll follow you and your commands maybe next year, maybe not. I guess it kind of depends on if there's something that comes up that feeds my flesh over being obedient to Christ. I'll serve you if it's conditional. It's conditional. We put conditions and requirements on God. But guys, we've all been called. We've all been commissioned to go. There's no room for excuse in there for any of us. So just do it. Quit making the excuses. Quit being fearful. Don't be disobedient. Bottom line, if you're not sharing Jesus with the people around you, you are being disobedient. It's as simple as that. So, Jesus in the Great Commission says, you know, power is going to come on you. You know, like he talks about giving us that authority. Acts 1:8, we see the reference to this. So you take in your notes, write down Acts 1:8. It says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So who in there receives power? Us. You. Me. Make it personal. I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on me. And what I love in here is it gives us the map for the Great Commission. So we've talked a lot about overseas missions, about mission trips being a once-a-year thing, but when you break this down, it begins locally. It begins in our community, and then it spreads out regionally and nationally, and then it goes global. And so Jerusalem really literally means like your local community, your daily surroundings, the places you go, the people you interact with. Judea and Samaria would be like the state of Michigan or Tennessee, USA. It's our continent. It's where our nation is. But then the very ends of the world is like overseas. But see, so often we do this completely backwards. We say, I'm going to do outreach and I'm going to go to the ends of the world. But we neglect our own communities, our own friends, our own families, our own circles of influence here that God has commissioned and ordained you to be in. And that's normal. But it's backwards from what God asks us to do. Because a missions trip overseas or even national is an extension of how we are to be living here. It's an extension of how we're to be living here. See, it's clear that we are all called and commissioned and that we're sent with a great purpose for outreach. So some of you are probably going, what does outreach look like then? If I'm called to do this, if I'm commissioned and empowered by Jesus himself, What does this look like? Two things you need to get out of this. Two functions of outreach. Keep it simple, okay? Don't overthink it. Two main functions. The first is if you want someone to know something, you need to tell them. So you speak it. You speak it. Say, speak it. Speak it. Speak it. In your notes, write this one down. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. It says, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. I love that scripture because it's basically saying, how do people come into relationship with Jesus? Well, someone's got to tell them, but if they're not, they can't tell if they don't go, and they can't go if they're not sent. Love it. It's the simplest presentation of walking out the Great Commission that I can think of. And it shows us we need to speak up. We need to be vocal. Don't be silenced. Let your voice be heard. So what do you speak? You speak the truth. Three different areas of truth. First one being the truth of who Jesus is. Now, in our society, there's many perceived versions of truth. You guys have heard, oh, your truth is my truth, and all paths eventually lead somewhere, and it's just the effort that counts. That's not true. There can only be one absolute truth. You and I know what that is because the Word of God gives it to us. You can't have multiple versions of the truth all being right. It doesn't work that way. It's complete chaos. We know that our God is a God of order. In fact, the Roman culture was so much in education and performance. Sound familiar? They sought knowledge above all else. And you see Jesus, part of this culture, he stands before Pilate, one of the governors, one of the rulers. And Pilate, in all of this knowledge, and all of this pursuit of performance, is perplexed by Jesus, and he can't figure it out. And Jesus tells him that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, what is truth? You can have the education, but if you don't know truth, it's not worth anything. So you give him the truth of who Jesus is. So who is Jesus? Claire, you covered this. Where are you? I just seen you. There you are. You covered this in our prayer time. This is awesome. She's like, who is Jesus? She talked about a ministry called God Is in Atlanta. And what that is writing out signs of who God is to you. Sometimes they say Savior. Sometimes they say King. Sometimes they say Father, Best Friend, Redeemer, Prince of Peace, Worthy, Truth, Trust. We could go on all day. But they're all characters of who Jesus is. So you share with them who Jesus is. And then you share the truth of who you were without Jesus. Because let's be honest, each of us has a story. No story is alike. The only common denominator you'll find in all of them is that Jesus is the hero of every story, of every person who raised their hand in here tonight and said, I'm an authentic follower of Christ. Jesus is the hero of your story. What that looks like in sharing who Jesus is, what he's done in your life, who you are without him, whether you're raised in church or not, every person who follows Christ has come to a realization at one point or another who they would be without Jesus. And they've submitted their life to the lordship of him. So you share that. How are other people going to want to know Jesus or even come into relationship if we can't even express the reason why we serve him or how we came to know him? It's like trying to explain your best friend, but you don't even know how you met him. You never hang out with him. Why is somebody else going to want to meet him? You're like, this dude's awesome, but I really can't tell you much about him. But trust me, he's awesome. Yeah, it's not going to work. And the third truth that you share is the truth of why you follow Jesus. The truth of why you follow Jesus is because he's worthy. It's because he's king. It's because of how he's revealed himself to you and your life. It's how he's loved you in spite of yourself. It's how our eternity is a frightening one without Jesus. But with him, it's a game changer. So we share truth. You have to speak truth. And don't overthink it. It's simple. Very simple. We operate a lot in fear. We go, what am I supposed to share? I don't know how to share it. What if it doesn't sound good? You know what? Just tell them the truth of who Jesus is, who you were without Jesus, and why you follow him. It's that simple. You share the truth. And that takes you to your second function of outreach. The second thing that should be rooted in every Christ follower's life is you need to show it. You need to show it. You cannot separate what you say from what you do. You can't separate the two. You guys, you've all seen people like this. They're like, I just love Jesus. Praise Jesus. And they're hitting a bong. And you're like, huh? What are you doing? They're like, I just love Jesus. Hey, check out this new Lil Wayne album. What are you talking about? They praise with their mouths, but their actions, their heart is far from them. You need to speak it and you need to show it. See, Jesus nailed it in John 21, verses 15 through 17. It says, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. A third time he said to them, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You guys know who Peter is? This guy who denied Jesus. How many times did he deny Jesus? How many times did Jesus ask if he loved him? He's knocking. It's about Jesus and everything he does, bringing it back to redemption. See, Peter screwed up. That was his story. But Jesus brought full redemption. And I love that in here. And on top of that redemption, he made the relationship right, and then he commissioned him. He said, you need to live this out. You need to go feed my sheep. You need to feed my sheep. So it's like this. Jesus appears one night, Zach's sleeping, and Jesus is like, boosh, into the bedroom. He's like, Zach, you need to go into your school, and you need to go with all of your friends and non-friends alike, and you need to share the truth of who I am, and you need to go through there and explain to them and show them and make followers of me in your school. You need to do that. You need to go and feed my sheep and find ones that aren't being fed and make them sheep and then feed them. You're going to do this. I'm sending you out. And you're like, all right, Jesus, I'll do that. You're all fired up. You're like, man, Jesus just appeared. It's amazing. And Jesus comes back a month later, and he's kind of agitated. He's like, Zach, you have not fed my sheep. What's going on? And he goes, well, I heard what you said. Jesus, you appeared, and it was so amazing, and I was so excited. And I went into my school, and I started a Bible study. And every Wednesday and every Sunday, we get together for a couple hours, and we talk about you, Jesus. We talk about what it would look like if we feed your sheep. And we talk about ways that we could possibly feed your sheep. And the coolest thing is we found some songs that we sing. And we get hype, man. We're jumping, we're praising, we're talking about all of these songs we sing and we do about how we can feed your sheep. And we've broken down what you've said. I can even say it in Greek and Hebrew. You want to hear it? Man, we're growing weekly. More people are coming and hearing about what it would be like if we fed sheep. People are talking to their friends about what it would be like about feeding sheep. And Jesus says, I'm glad that you heard. You can talk all day long, but there's no action here. You're not doing what I said. You're not feeding my sheep. So, guys, it means nothing if we don't have action to back it up. If our lives are not a reflection of Christ Jesus, all of our words mean nothing. We're called to go boldly into the world with the power that Jesus has commissioned us with to reach lost souls, to break chains of captivity, to open prison doors, to proclaim truth loudly so all can hear, but yet we sit here with our hands tied in our own prisons, with our own chains of addictions wrapped around us, because we're too scared to operate in the power that Jesus gave us. but the chains aren't shackled. The prison door is open, and we just sit there going, Lord, I'm bound. But you're bound by yourself. We go and we share. We do outreach. We proclaim truth, and we show up because of Jesus. When I think of this, I think of 2 Timothy 1:7. You guys all know this from doing R21. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I broke this down in original language for you. What it says is that he has not given us the Spirit. The Spirit, indicating that this is a spiritual driving force that dictates your life. And he hasn't given us one of fear, is the actual translation there. And this word comes back in the sense of cowardice. It's always negative in its use. It's always in a bad sense. I haven't given you a driving force, a driving spirit of being a coward, but I give you one of power. This is strength. This is ability. And this word here is the same word in Acts 1:8 that says, when I come on you in power. It's the same word that we get our English word dynamite from. It's explosive. It can't be contained. It gives us a spirit of love. This is affection and compassion for others. And one of self-discipline is a translation there. And this means self-control. This means stability. And the most accurate translation into our language is a sound mind. So what does all of it mean? You're like, I don't get it. It literally means the spirit God has placed on you, the individual, is not one of a coward, not one of a person who shies away from sharing Jesus with others, but rather a spirit is given to you, a spirit given to you that is filled with the exploding strength and the ability to carry out with power the task that God has commissioned to you. And you're gifted with compassion and love for other people to be able to operate within and see the love of God coming through you. You've been given God's eyes and heart for the lost, allowing you to properly use this gift of power so that you don't hoard it to yourself. You're gifted with self-control and a sound mind to keep stable your relationship with Jesus so you don't lose sight in the fact that he has commissioned you. That's what the scripture is saying. You're not called to sit idly as a believer. As a follower of Jesus, you're not called to be fearful. You're not called to be disobedient. You're not called to be ignorant. You are sent into all the world to share Jesus with others. So how do you show it? How do you show it? I know you guys don't want credit for this, but CSU, man, you guys nailed this thing. You guys nailed this thing. CSU members, can you please stand up for me? Please. These guys, over 2,000 likes on Facebook, because, you know, we judge success by Facebook nowadays. It's not about that. What happened is these guys said, how can we show the love of Christ to others? And they have a huge Christian union at their school, a huge student body of Christ followers devoted to reaching out. And one person came up with the idea to say, what if we just put words of life on lockers? What if we spoke truth of who God is? So they did. Sticky note on every locker of that high school. Every locker. It was amazing. When I seen it, I did not know it was East Lansing. I seen it, I'm like, man, that's awesome. That is cool. And then later, Mandy texts me. She's like, did you see what CSU did? And I'm like, no. And she's like, the sticky notes in the lockers, you didn't see that? And I'm like, I did. Oh, my gosh. Like, just blew my mind. Showing the love of Christ to others in tangible ways. Man, I'm so proud of that group, I'll tell you. So how do you show? You tell the truth. See, it's going full circle now. This requires you to speak, to be bold, and to stand for Jesus, even if you need to stand alone. You show your love for Jesus because love is reflected in actions. Simple things like a sticky note of saying, this is who God is, this is what he thinks of you. Or a simple gesture, becoming somebody's friend, praying over somebody like, man, I got a headache. Man, let me pray for that. I believe my God can heal. Headache gone. Show Jesus' love for them through you. This should encompass every part of your life. Everything you do, every part of your DNA as a Christ follower. Why? Because Jesus' whole life mission was wrapped up in outreach, of serving others, of creating disciples. Every ounce of God's being breaks for the lost. That's why he's commissioned us. That's why he sends us out to be his light in a dark place. That's why he's chosen you. That's why he's chosen me. And none of us are exempt from that. All of us, as Christ followers, are to outreach and show his love to others. Everybody bow their head and close their eyes. I know this message was a little harder hitting. I just know there's some people here tonight that God's stirring in your heart. You're hearing this stuff and you go, man, I'm away from Jesus. My heart doesn't break for these things. And I'm realizing that I need to give my life completely and wholly surrendered to him. I haven't been living for Jesus. I've been living for myself. I've been looking at my own motives and what can I gain out of things. But I need Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you're at a place where you're like, I've never surrendered my life to Christ at all. I've never thought of what that would look like. But tonight I'm realizing that Jesus is King. I'm realizing that I need to surrender to him for the first time. So if that's you, in either situation, every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to be brave. Show of hands. Thank you. There's one already. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait a whole lot longer. Got two hands up. Is there anybody else? You want to know what it means to have a relationship with Christ tonight? Be right with him for the first time or coming back. Two of you, if you could just slip to the back. There's two people back there right now. This is a God appointment. Just waiting to pray with you. You guys can look up here. So you guys, this whole thing, this whole I Crave, it's not about Beats by Dre headphones. It's not about some gift cards for food. It's not about black lights. It's not. It's about Jesus being King. Those things, yeah, they're great. They're an incentive for lost people to come into the doors and feel God's love for the first time. The question is, where will those people be without you doing what you're called to do, without you reaching out to them? Without you saying, man, check this out. Man, this is who Jesus is. Man, I want you to experience this. Where would they be? Are you okay with the people around you, with your friends, going to hell while you have the truth of who Jesus is that frees them for all eternity? Are you okay with that? Can you sit there and say, you know what? My eternity is secure in Christ, but I don't care about the people around me. They can go straight to hell. Are you okay with that? If we could kill the lights, hit that video clip, please.
Mr. Whitehurst.
Are you up?
I'm Linda, sir. I'm a teacher.
And what is this?
It's a prayer meeting.
Prayer meeting?
The kids started it themselves Friday night, and it just hasn't stopped.
God, thank you for the change that you've brought upon this city. Thank you for the change that you've brought upon this school. Thank you for the change that you have brought upon my life.
Are you leaving this?
No, sir. I was an atheist last week. The kids, they're leading me. Spreading all over the school. There's even a rally tonight at Legion Field if you want to come. Coach is setting it up.
Hey, I just want to thank Coach Gerald's and his team for putting this together. Thank you, Coach. Will you look at this? I mean, take a look around. Can you believe it? This is what happens when God shows up. Now, a couple years back, I went to this thing called the Explo 72 in Dallas. I joined 100,000 other people, just like us. Up until that point in my life, I guess I kind of felt insignificant. I felt like my life doesn't matter. On the last night of the week, there in the big Cotton Bowl, they shut off the lights. And in that darkness, Reverend Graham lit a candle, a single candle. I was standing in the very back of the stadium. But I could see that light. And I realized that my life is not insignificant. My life matters. One light became two. And two became 10. And 10 became 100,000. But people in Dallas started calling the fire department and the police department, saying the Cotton Bowl's on fire. You know what? They were right. 100,000 candles burning as one. Time magazine said that the Jesus Revolution, that's what they called us, has a symbol. This is our symbol. Because there is one way. We're not gathered here united tonight because of the name of our teams or of our schools, but because of the name above all names, Jesus. Jesus. One person, alone in the dark, willing to speak the truth when it's not popular. One person, willing to speak the truth when it is not safe. When there is much at stake. Look around you. We're not alone. This is what happens when God shows up.
You know, Jesus himself said, no one lights a lamp and hides it under a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Now, what if one person here tonight, just one, committed their life to let their life shine? What if that lit a fire in one other person and then another? And another. I want you to know tonight, young people, it starts with one. One person being bold enough to say, I will burn for Jesus in my school. I will burn for Jesus in my home, in my community, in my neighborhood. I will burn for Jesus wherever I go, unashamed. I will burn bright for him. I'll not be satisfied until the whole world hears. If one person would burn for Christ, even when it's not popular, even when it means it doesn't feed your flesh, even when it doesn't feel good, what if one person tonight says, I will burn bright for Jesus? If you would say, It's time for me to take ownership. I will no longer be okay with my friends not knowing Jesus. I will no longer be okay with the lost and broken and captives around me going to hell while I sit here comfortable, while I sit here knowing the truth of who Jesus is. I will burn for Jesus even if nobody else will. If that's your heart tonight, as a declaration of that, I invite you, with all the lights still out, we're not going to kick them on, to come up to the altar, to grab a candle, and to light it off of this one, and line the altar up here as a symbol saying, I will be that light for Jesus. I will burn for him. Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.